Hello and welcome to Speaking With Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you on board today, and it's good to be on board with you. For real, on the program where we really do work to bring information that you can use. That's why we want you to always come ready to grab hold of the information that we share so you can put it into play. Let it work for you, work for others in whatever ways you can. Yes, indeed. That's what it's about. Using information that can help us as we strive to grow as individuals, as family, as community on the local, state, national, and international levels. How are we doing when it comes to fulfilling one of our other goals, and that is growing into people, developing into people who truly celebrate diversity, celebrate all the different colors of humanity, allowing ourselves, maybe even determining, not just doing this passively, but actively determining to celebrate the various skin colors of humans, just as much as we would get excited about the many colors of a garden. I don't mean a small garden either. I mean a large garden. I don't know how many of you have had the opportunity to go to a place, for example, like Callaway Gardens, where they have just a serious, serious walk-through garden with flowers galore, all kinds of beautiful colors, and people just ooh and ah and are just fascinated by what they see and embrace it all. The greens, the pinks, the yellows, the blues, just embrace it all. We have all these different hues of brown skin, all these different hues of white skin. Why not embrace all of that? Why not get excited about that? Especially when you think about the fact that when you're looking at flowers, as beautiful as they are, they can't talk to you. As beautiful as they are, they can't marry you. As beautiful as they are, they can't sing to you. It's hard to really develop a relationship with flowers, but they're beautiful, and we celebrate their beauty. Humanity is beautiful. Let's celebrate our beauty. Let's celebrate the many, many different colors of humanity. And that said, let's go about the business of developing beautiful hearts, developing ourselves on the inside so that we're not just beautiful skin colors and beautiful hair designs and beautiful eyes. How about all those different colors of eyes? And I'm not talking about the contacts either. I'm talking about the natural eyes, the natural eye colors. Some a darker blue, some a lighter blue. Some a darker green, some a lighter green. Some a medium brown, some a dark brown, some a lighter shade of brown. I mean, just all these different shades of beautiful colors of the eyes. And those eyes telling us often so much about the people to whom those eyes are a part. I tell you what, and we can develop relationships with each other. That's why I'm saying, hey, let's do what we can to make ourselves as beautiful as we can on the inside, so that in addition to having beautiful skin colors, we have beautiful or handsome inner people, inner personalities, beauty within and beauty without. Beauty on the inside, beauty on the outside. Handsomeness, whatever word you want to use. Attractiveness. Great appeal. Yeah, let's do that. So that it becomes easier for us easier and easier and easier for us to celebrate one another. To truly celebrate each other across ethnic lines, across gender lines. No need for us to come up with excuses to hate each other. No need for us to come up with excuses to resent each other. Let's use our time and energy to build our relationships. All right. Today, we're also going to take a look at cell phone safety. I normally, I had been talking about that on Thursday, but I'm moving that to Tuesday this week, which, of course, is today. We're going to look at cell phone safety. We're going to finish our discussion on cell phone safety. Remember yesterday, those of you who were able to listen in yesterday know that we wrapped up all of the pros about cell phone safety. Those who are saying cell phones are safe. And we needed to conclude the cons. We just have the cons remaining. And so we're going to take a look at that. And then we're going to resume our discussion about sexual misconduct in America. I'm asking you to continue to walk with me through this exploration of sexual misconduct in America as we take a look at some of the various forms of sexual misconduct, as we look at where it comes from, in other words, who perpetrates sexual misconduct, as we explore whether sexual misconduct is something that can be brought about passively, or I guess you could say covertly, subtly, as well as being brought about overtly. In other words, do we find that sometimes people initiate some level of sexual misconduct by sending out signals rather than just being open about what they want, what they're trying to accomplish? So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And of course, with the question still being all this attached to that, are there steps that we can take to reduce sexual misconduct in America? As I said before, just looking at it realistically, I truly believe that we will not eliminate sexual misconduct. You still have people's hearts to deal with. You still have people's attitudes to deal with. And I think that it is unrealistic to think that we'll ever get to a point in this phase of man's life, man's general human's life, where everyone will determine, hey, you know what? No more sexual misconduct of any kind. So, can't eliminate it. Are there steps that we can take to reduce it? All right, that's what we'll be talking about today. Thursday, we're going to be looking into the future again. And in addition to taking a look some more at automation, I want us to meet Sophia, the robot, who is a citizen of Saudi Arabia. But I also want us to take a look at church life of the future. You know, there's a push to go about the business of, I think it's in the current tax bill proposal, in fact it is, where they want to make it legal for churches to be political, overtly political, without any consequences whatsoever. Free to discuss politics from the pulpit, to endorse a specific candidate, to endorse specific political issues from the pulpit. I want us to take a look at where that will take America when that's put into play. And it's so interesting that we have heard that there are so many people who are opposed to changing that law. The law that says you know, if you become overtly political, you lose that nonprofit, or that church loses their tax exempt status. Many, many leaders, religious leaders in America, want that law to stay in place as it is. And they have voiced their concerns about what will happen if that law is changed and churches are allowed to become overtly political. But our Republican leaders in Washington, D.C. are pushing that as part of their agenda anyway, despite the fact that many Republican constituents are saying, please don't do it. Let's talk about the ramifications of that on Thursday when we look into the future. All right, so procon.org has put out some information where we can take a look at some of the, I don't know if you want to call it supporting evidence or not, but reasons that there are some who say cell phones are not safe, reasons that there are those who say cell phones are safe. And as I've said, it can be kind of difficult when you have two different parties making contrasting claims about the same thing. And this is an example of what I mean. When you have one side saying there is scientific evidence proven that cell phones are unsafe, and the other group is saying there is no scientific evidence that says cell phones are safe, or the scientific evidence proves that cell phones are safe, it can be kind of hard to just go by the information and determine, well, you know what? This is it. This is the case. It is this or it is that. That can be difficult. So I'm going to share it with you, the last cons, and just kind of digest what we will have shared over the last few weeks about cell phone safety and decide what you think. That said, though, I would say this. It is often good to be safe. And so if there are safety measures that we can take, even if we don't reach a firm conclusion as individuals as to whether or not cell phones are safe, we can ask ourselves the question, will it hurt anything if I do try to take some safety measures that will reduce any potential risks? All right, so here are the last cons. We wrapped up the last pros yesterday. We just went down the list, gave the last pros yesterday. So now we're going to give the last cons. And these, of course, are the people who are saying that cell phones are not safe. Let's start with this one. Children may have an increased risk of adverse health effects from cell phone radiation. According to American Academy of Pediatrics president, Dr. Robert Block, when cell phones are used by children, the average radio frequency energy deposition is 2 times higher in the brain and 10 times higher in the bone marrow of the skull than for adults. Bone marrow is in the skull. The skull has bone marrow. And they're saying the average radio frequency energy deposition, what is deposited into the brain, is 2 times higher in the brain of the children and 10 times higher in the bone marrow of the skull of the children than for adults. A July 2008 peer-reviewed study shows that children under the age of 8 absorb twice the amount of radiation into their brain tissue as adults due to their lower skull thickness. By the way, speaking of our children and cell phones, what age do you suppose is the earliest age, the youngest age at which children should be allowed to use cell phones? Would you say age 12, age 10, age 6, age 4? What age would you say?